I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This guy's interesting. He's smart. He's got some great wit. And he's a great writer. Does a lot of radio. Does a lot of TV. And I used to work with him, so I really do like him. Although, as we always joke, I used to drive him nuts for a little bit. But let's face it, I made his life a little bit more interesting. Rick Bucher. Rick is with Bleacher Report, senior NBA writer. Buke, what's happening, buddy? How are you today?
I'm good. I always referred to doing a show with BT as it was like wrestling with a bear.
So
I don't know if you would relate to that or not, or whether fatherhood has slowed him down, but I'm curious. What is your analogy?
I wouldn't use bear as the preferred animal. It would probably be like a, because he's more gentle now.
He's not as
rambunctious as I'm sure he would be.
Koala.
But he's not gentle like a koala. Maybe
not slippery like a snake.
Not slippery like a snake.
I'm trustworthy.
So maybe like a kangaroo.
Jumping around from conversation to conversation.
Nonsense to nonsense to nonsense. And then kicks you in the groin.
Every once in a while, boom.
Richard, you least expect
it. Every once in a while can really knock you out.
That's a good one. I like that, T. So, Buke, how about this? We got a few things to run by you. Teek and I kicked the tires on this really throughout the year, and we gave our final verdict before. Who's the MVP? I believe that Giannis should win it.
Harden.
Though I think Harden will. Teeky thinks Harden should and will. What do you think, Rick?
Yeah, look, it's funny. I believe that James Harden deserves to win the MVP. I have been in reading the tea leaves about how the voters, my fellow media members, vote, I've been leaning toward that Giannis is going to win it simply because I believe that the media relies on statistics far more than I think that we should.
Yeah.
My view has been swayed by the number of players that I've talked to, and this was all inspired by our conversation I had with Steph about a year ago, because we got into, I was asking him about, once you've won an MVP, does the feeling about it change? Do you look at like all the political back and forth, the narratives, you live that whole story through a year, and then you win, and you look back and you go, wow, that's a lot different than maybe I just thought what MVP was all about. And so we got into a conversation about how I, as a voter, all the different things that I weigh, and, you know, whether a team has one of the best records should matter, or statistics, like how much should they weigh in? And he basically said, you know, the players know, and they know on a visceral level, a guy that is just doing things for his team, that team would not be where it is and would not be able to compete without that element. And by and large, the players that I talked to, asking them, using that litmus test, who's the MVP, they said James Harden. And then I took a hard look at, you know, what the Rockets have and haven't had and his part in it and what Giannis has done and how they're constructed and who they rely on. I kind of came to the same conclusion.
Okay. All right. There you go.
See? Told you.
Well, it doesn't mean he's right just because he concludes it. Right, Buke?
Yeah. Look, and this is the thing. I mean, it is – MVP has never been defined.
Yeah.
And everybody has their own interpretation, and players do too. It's not even a matter of that – the player's view of it is the right view when media are voting on it. But I've always tried to take into consideration the guys who do the job and what MVP means to them and what an MVP looks like. And I feel as if I need to give credence to that as much as what I think an MVP is.
All right. Okay. We'll turn to Rick Bucher. Rick, senior NBA writer for Bleacher Report. He's hopping on here, Tiki and Tierney, talking hoops.
Rick, we also hit the KD story and how a lot, it's interesting how they're polling players about where they think KD is going to go. It's not tampering, but it's just odd, right? And so they all think KD is leaving. And I wonder how much of this is informed by their knowledge of what's going on here. But this feels just it's interesting. It's an interesting space that the NBA is in relative to player movement and where guys are going, where they think other people are going. And I don't know if that's really good for the NBA. The teams have no control.
Yeah. Honestly, it's interesting that you say, is it good for the NBA? Because the NBA has owned and owns more of the sports landscape than it ever has before. I mean, the NBA was the talk of the week leading up to Super Bowl because of the Anthony Davis controversy.
Yep.
And I have said that the NBA has become a transactions league in that there are so many people that are more interested in where guys are going to go and the prospects of who's going to play together and what the next super team is than actually watching the games to see who wins. Bob Myers and I just had this conversation last week. We were talking about it. He's the GM of the Warriors and how people are more interested in – it's almost like the fantasy sports come to life. Like, you get to pick your team. You get to imagine these different superstars playing together, and you get to do that in fantasy. And now people kind of they've gravitated toward that in following the leagues. And so I think that in one respect, I think it's actually been good for the league because it's captured the interest of people. But on the other hand, are we losing the audience that really cares about the game itself?
Yes. And the answer is yes.
Yeah.
And it's a great point, and it's a real challenging dynamic that the NBA and the other leagues, to a lesser extent maybe, that they're going to have to navigate here. Because I think what happens, the immediate pop, and Teek and I have said this many times, Rick, where the NBA's become, it's morphed into roughly a 10-month-a-year job, the playoffs, free agency, the draft before that, the speculation. We kind of catch our breath in September and maybe August, and then we just jump right back on the train. But as this proceeds through and goes through generations here, I doubt its long-term viability. Because it's a little bit hollow. What makes a fan and creates sustainability is more meat and potatoes. This is a little fluff. And if the dynamics, the business dynamics ever change, you're going to go an entire generation that was not raised as nuts and bolts basketball fans. And that's not good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I think that is where esports and the kind of creating your own universe is I honestly can see people gravitating toward that, and that watching sports and participating in sports and following sports as we know it, that it's not going to be as hands-on as people want it to be, that people are going to follow, they're going to build their own NBA 2K teams, and they're going to follow those, that the sort of the virtual reality of sports is where people are going to go, and the numbers would suggest that, because I saw a shocking number, and you guys probably saw it and talked about it too, where the 18 to 34 age group, when it comes to the NBA, like 50% there's been a 50% reduction in their viewership when it comes to the NBA. That's a huge, huge drop off.
Yeah.
And I think there's a reason for it, and that we as or at least upcoming generations are now used to being participants in sports, not literally playing the sport, but being participants in how they manage the sport that they're watching through fantasy, and people like it and they want more of it.
It's an interesting line to straddle. So, Buick, you just get ready with the playoffs here. Obviously, it'll be over it. We've only got 30 seconds. Can you give us a little look into the collective soul of the Warriors? Did they just get a little bored this year, or do you think that there's maybe a little something that's kind of infiltrated the team here, however you want to quantify it, that just makes them as vulnerable as they've ever been?
Worn down.
Yeah.
I think that they haven't been able to add. I mean, look, they haven't been able to draft anybody in 4 years. I look at them the same way I looked at Miami at the end of their run. You know, you're riding the same horses, and you can only do that deep into season after season until you pay a price. And the only question is there a team ready to step up and knock them off as the Warriors essentially did to the San Antonio Spurs on their way up?
And your answer would be still no, right?
No, I think it's going to happen. I'm anticipating that an Eastern Conference team is going to win the championship.
Ooh. Wow. Oh, geez. Dropping bombs at the end. All right, so who's on the short list? Who do you like the best?
Yeah, right?
I've said Boston from the beginning of the year.
Boston?
But I believe that either Boston or Toronto, if they end up matched up against the Warriors, that they have the wherewithal.
Toronto.
They have playoff experience. And they have the defense.
Not the Bucks,
Toronto.
You don't like the Bucks?
I don't like the Bucks. I think that the ability to make the game hard for Giannis in a 7-game series is still very much there, and that the Bucks can only play the Warriors style. And the Warriors are still kings at the small ball game and the 3-point shooting.
Wow. All right. That's something to chew on here. Yeah. I like it, Buick. Very good stuff. Rick Bucher, Bleacher Report, senior NBA writer, SiriusXM 206, all-around smart guy. And good catching up there, Buick. Appreciate it, buddy.
Be good, man.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.